Would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The book of Leviticus can be easy to overlook. It is filled with a great many laws that can seem esoteric and anachronistic. What shall I do if my ox harms my neighbor's ox? What should I do if my ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath? For those who, like me, have only ever aspired to own zero oxen, this can all seem as if it doesn't apply at all. And yet, when Jesus is quoting scripture during his ministry, as he often is, Jesus is often quoting Leviticus. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' first public words, his proclamation of what his ministry is all about, it includes these words, saying of his ministry that he has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that phrase, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that is a reference to, you guessed it, the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus was the law for how to keep the people on equal footing with one another. And that was no easy task. People were building homes and planting, some going into this line of work, some that. One family prospered, another began to fall behind. This one fell into debt, that one began earning interest. This farmer bought up neighboring farms, that one became little more than a farmhand on land that they once had owned. Over time, human nature being what it is, and the whims of fate being what they are, over time the people became stratified. Those who got ahead were getting further ahead all the time. Those who fell behind were falling further and further behind. What's the law of God supposed to do about that? The answer is the year of Jubilee, also called the year of the Lord's favor. The year of Jubilee, it's meant to restore unity to the people, assuming and expecting that over time, inequality will be creeping into the society bit by bit. The year of Jubilee is built into the law cyclically, every 50th year. It is to be the year of Jubilee. Now, that makes it quite an uncommon occurrence in one sense. A person would only ever see one year of Jubilee in their lifetime. But if a person lived a full life, then every person would experience one. In the year of Jubilee, society undergoes a great resetting. Debts are canceled. Property is returned to the families. Everything becomes leveled again. In the year of Jubilee, no work is to be done. Not by citizens, not by resident aliens, not by beasts of burden, not even by the land itself. No work is supposed to be done for the entire year. The fields are to be left unplowed and to lie fallow. Everyone is to be on equal footing, none doing any work at all. Now, this raises a very natural question. If no one is to work, and the land even is to be left to lie fallow, how are the people going to survive? How is anybody going to eat? How will they not simply starve? Is it not by working hard that impoverishment and hunger and want are to be prevented? How will there be enough? Well, that's a very natural question, one that the law assumes you're going to ask and even bothers to proactively answer it. In the year before the Jubilee, God will make the harvests triple their normal size. It will be a bumper crop, enough to last 3 full years, an overflowing harvest. Now, that's great. Of course, I suppose that's the kind of thing that God can arrange. But the mere presence of abundance doesn't mean that there will be enough for everyone. It doesn't. Because that triple-sized bumper crop just left on its own, that would belong to the landowners. If the abundance sits just in a few hands, it's not going to help the people be on equal footing. If anything, it's going to make it worse. Those who already had enough, they would be able to ride it out with what they have harvested on their land, and everybody else would have to borrow from them just to survive. It would just make things worse. People would wind up further behind than they had been. Well, the year of Jubilee predicts this as well, because at the very moment that the triple-sized harvest is brought in, at the harvest festival, at the Day of Atonement, at that very moment, a trumpet is sounded and all debts are canceled. All people who had been enslaved are freed. All property and wealth no longer is held by a single family, but are returned to the entirety of the people. All the wealth of the people becomes the property of all the people. Overflowing blessings mark the start of the year of Jubilee. Overflowing blessings that will, on the spot, be given over to the common good, to be enjoyed equally. For none would be forced by debt or bondage to give up their share. A year of community, of togetherness, of fellowship, of justice. It's a reset. It's putting people back onto equal footing with one another. That's the purpose of the law, is to have the people be on equal footing with one another. It is always tempting to overlook the ancient law. Remember, zero is the number of oxen I want. All oxen-based laws. But the law is invested with deep wisdom. It does require application. It requires forming analogs. It requires understanding the purpose of the law in its original context and figuring out what that has to do with today. It takes some work, but there is deep wisdom there. And the wisdom at the heart of the law, it's still true. The insight that is a part of this law, it's still true. Over time, human nature being what it is, the whims of fate being what they are, means that society will wind up stratified. The law understands this, expects it to happen, but does not accept this reality. The law does not accept the idea that people will simply be stratified permanently, these ones thriving and these ones falling behind, and what matters is where you got born in this big bingo game. That's not how it's supposed to work. The law of God calls for a great resetting of society, a year of Jubilee, an upending of how the world works. And it's supposed to happen every 50 years. Now, we've seen this in our country, or at least something in the direction of the year of Jubilee. We celebrate Juneteenth as the day when General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, to announce General Order Number 3, which was announcing the end of slavery in the United States. And it is not for nothing that this news was delivered by the Army. The chains that had bound black people were broken. It is a joyful day, a day of liberation, a day of Jubilee. This is a celebration day, Juneteenth. The year of Jubilee, remember, it is not a one-time event. It's not something that occurred some 3, 4, 5,000 years ago and that sort of sets it up. Now we're fine. Inequality, done. It's not how it works. The year of Jubilee must be repeated. The law assumes and expects that inequality will grow, that bondage will creep back in, perhaps in new forms. Slavery replaced by Jim Crow replaced by mass incarceration. It changes forms, but it keeps coming back and must be reset again and again. Frankly, has to be reset pretty often. Every 50 years or so is about as long as you should let it go. And that schedule, that 50-year clock, that 50-year timer, it's actually not that far off from what happens. From the end of slavery, inequality began to be built up and up and up, and the society simply decided to do nothing about it, and inequality grew and grew, and the Great Depression came to crash everyone down again. A kind of equality came to the nation, not because of abundance, but because of scarcity. Decades later, the racial inequalities of our nation once again had grown so vast. 5 decades later, a moral uprising came, culminating in the Civil Rights Act of 1968, about 50 years. About 50 years, our society needs to be reset. And frankly, we are overdue. Inequality is at levels not seen since the days just before the Great Depression. Progress against racism in the United States has stalled. The heady hopes of reform from the racial reckoning of 2020, they're now facing fierce backlash across the country. None of this is a surprise to God. The law of God assumes and expects, in fact, that inequalities will build and build and build. The law expects this, but does not accept it. The law does not accept this as a reality. The law assumes that it will happen and tells us that there must be a reset. There must be a year of jubilee. The law promises that change will come, either by people voluntarily changing their ways, or if by intransigence, we must be pushed. Then we will be pushed into change by the great sweep of history. Another jubilee is coming. We're overdue. And if it seems farther away than ever, then perhaps it is just around the corner. But what is a faithful Christian to do? What is an ordinary person of good conscience to do? What to do when I know that I am not in charge of the great sweep of history? I'm just not. What am I to do? What are we to do? We are to live as if we know the difference between right and wrong. We are to live as if we care about the way that society is structured. We are to live as if we understand that these stratifications in society must be torn down, will be by the year of Jubilee, never too far away. We are to live as if the year of Jubilee is coming, as if it is right around the corner, and we are to celebrate. We are to celebrate those who are living like it is already the year of Jubilee, as if the year of liberation has already come. People who are living with freedom, building a world of freedom like it has already arrived. We are to celebrate people like Jay Shire. Places like Madhouse Motors. They have a very nice spot, or they had a very nice spot on Rug Road. Very good for doing motorcycle stuff, perfectly good for doing motorcycle stuff. But Jay and the Madhouse crew saw that there was more that they could be doing. They took that very nice spot on Rug Road and instead took a big risk. Took a big risk to move to Blue Hill Ave to totally renovate a space, to add a coffee shop. There, they still do great motorcycle stuff. But they also are a community gathering space. They're a place to showcase artists. They hosted a fundraiser for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. They operate as a queer-affirming, anti-racist, pro-awesome space where the flourishing of one builds up the flourishing of all. That's the year of Jubilee. It's right there. You can go visit it. You can get coffee. The motorcycle world. It's a place that's supposed to be about celebrating individuality. It's supposed to be a place that's about people really embracing freedom, understanding themselves, doing the things and living the lives as they could truly do it if they were let loose with a dream. That's not what the motorcycle world is really like. That's not what the custom motorcycle building world is all about. A lot of places, unless you look like me, you're not going to get any kind of welcome. But the way things are, at Madhouse. That's the way that things are supposed to be. It is supposed to be that as we gather as the community, whether it is as the church, whether it is as a community gathering space, wherever it is that we gather as people, we are supposed to find and enjoy one another, building one another up so that the flourishing of one leads to the flourishing of all. That's how things are supposed to be. We're supposed to find places to celebrate. We're supposed to inspire one another, to outdo one another in showing honor. We are to be zealous for the good news, to believe that the year of Jubilee is coming, to see and understand the issues and the problems of the world and look to those and say, my Lord, what a morning when those have fallen. My Lord, what a morning when the realm of God has arrived. My Lord, what a morning when the trumpet has blasted and the year of Jubilee has come in. We are to celebrate and believe. To believe that the world as it is, it is not the way that it must be. A better world is possible. Not only possible, but it will come. That is the law of God. It is the law of God. Ours is to be faithful and to see in the law a great joy. May God help us in that.